We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to look at His Word. And, we've been learning the hearing of the voice of God, the school of the Spirit, and learning from God and hearing His voice and distinguishing it from other voices, you know. And, there are so many voices in the world. Your stomach will speak to you. It will tell you it is hungry. And you have to tell it, no, we are fasting. And it will hear. And the hunger will disappear. Your body will speak to you. It will tell you, oh, I need this. Your flesh will speak to you. It will tell you, I need this. The world will speak to you. It will tell you it needs this. But you have a voice within you to command it, you know, to speak against it and to refuse that which is not of God. So now when all these voices come to speak to us, we have a responsibility to be able to sift out which is the voice of God and which is the voice that we should obey. Now, we've been speaking about hearing the voice of God, and some of the things that we've been saying is that the way to be clear, the way to be certain, is to spend time in the presence of God. When you spend time in prayer, when you spend time in meditation of the Word of God, when you spend your time, when you've silenced your flesh through fasting, what God does is that He makes His voice clearer, or rather His voice becomes clearer. The same way that God has been speaking is the same way He continues to speak. But what happens is that we bring ourselves to the plane or to the place where we can hear His voice much more clearer. Now, it's our responsibility to hear His voice clearly. And there's something that God has put and established. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 25 verse 2 that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to hide a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search it out. That means God loves to hide things. God loves to put things in mysteries, to put things in hidden wisdoms. And these are some of the things that we've been speaking about the hidden wisdoms of God, that God has hidden things in cryptic messages, in mysteries that only those that have the glory of kings, you know, God has put in us. There's a greatness when we have the Spirit of God. The Bible says He has made us for Himself a kingdom of kings and priests. So we are a royal priesthood, you know. That means we have a kingly dimension and a priestly dimension. And when we operate these two, we are supposed to search out things that God has done. Now, today I want to speak about something that God calls dark speeches. Now, dark speeches is a phrase that God uses when He speaks to Miriam and Aaron. And also, we'll see somewhere else where the Lord speaks it in Psalms, and why He says that He speaks to the people in parables. But let's read Numbers chapter 12. And while we are there, we'll be able to see where this mention of the word dark speeches is mentioned. And we need to answer the question, why does God speak to us in dark speeches? And also, how do we interpret, or how are we able to depict and to come to a clearer understanding of what God is speaking? Now, when we go to the book of Numbers, chapter 12, the Bible says, maybe we can read from verse 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. Or I will speak face to face, not hiding myself, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. That is verse 8. And the similitude or the form of the Lord shall he behold. That means Moses was able to see the form of God. He was able to see the appearance of God. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And remember, and if we read further, we'll see that when immediately he left, that Miriam became leprous. Now, God was speaking to Aaron and Miriam. They raised a complaint against Moses. Now, what they don't understand is that Moses was not under their law. The Bible says the law that Moses gave to them. God told Moses, I am giving you a law that you shall give to the people of Israel. Now, someone will say, but he gave them the law that they should not marry foreign women. And that was right to them. But you see, Moses was the giver of the law. In fact, the law is referred to as the law of Moses. He became the custodian. He became the law himself. And he gives them this message. Now, yes, they heard from God. Yes, Miriam and Aaron could hear from God. The Bible describes that Miriam was a prophetess. Aaron was a priest, or rather, Aaron was the one that would interpret. He actually could speak more fluently than Moses. And remember, this brother and sister of Moses were older than him. So to them, they felt they had every right to speak to their younger brother as they chose. But they did not realize that Moses, yes, was their younger brother, but was in a different place of rank or authority that God had brought him to, that God will speak to him face to face, that he will behold the very similitude, the very appearance of God. And God asked them, were you not afraid? You see, when I bring a prophet on the earth, I speak to him in signs. I give him dreams. I give him visions. But not so with Moses. I speak with him clearly, face to face, and not in dark speeches. So one will ask, what are these dark speeches? Dark speeches are actually cryptic messages that God gives to his people, to us, either through the hearing of our ear, or through the Holy Spirit, or through circumstances that are happening to us, or through signs, patterns, archetypes, parables that God uses to communicate a hidden message. That means that God can say something to you now, but it is supposed to lead you to another place where you shall hear his voice more clearly. Now, let's look at one verse before now we start giving examples. Psalm 78, and this is the other place where dark speeches are mentioned. Psalm 78, verse 2. Or maybe we can even read verse 1 and 2. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. So here the word that is used is dark sayings instead of dark speeches. Now, when you look at that word, the word, when you look at the meaning is a knot. And, you know, the K-N-O-T. Now, a knot, when you're given something that is tied up, like if you give a child, like if when you're training a child, when they're in that phase where it's sensory, where they're developing their touch, their smell, their use of their fingers, What we encourage parents to do is that to give them toys, you know, to give them things that they play with. And as they do that, as they have these puzzles, you know, as they're trying to understand, then it becomes clearer. Think, for example, when you have a jigsaw puzzle, you are just given a piece of it. And when you put that piece in the right place, and then you put another piece next to it, and another piece next to it, then the whole picture comes clearer. Now you see, when God will come to speak to people, for example, think of Moses. When Moses saw a burning bush, it caught his attention. But then the Bible says, but when God saw that Moses had turned to look, and he was coming, when Moses said, I will go and see, then now God told him that now, Moses, take off your shoes, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. Now you see, it's like God brings you an image or gives you a word. And now when you turn to hear, when you go for the second look, when you're obedient to that first prompting of God to hear, then he now gives you the next layer of instruction. And when you've had that layer of instruction, then you'll now go to another layer of instruction. Why is it that God does that? God does that because he is God. The Bible tells us it is the glory of God to hide a matter. And it is the glory of kings to search it out. God teaches us to depend on him, because the reality is, if he were to show us the whole picture, many of us will run away. Why did God communicate to Joseph in a dream that, you know what, you're going to be great, your brothers are going to bow down to you, your father and mother are going to bow down to you? Now, two, Joseph, if God had showed him, the journey would have involved being sold and betrayed by his brothers, to be thrown into a pit, to be sold to Ishmaelites, to be sold to Egypt, to be a slave in Potiphar's house, to be accused falsely, to be thrown in prison, and to be forgotten in a dungeon, and to be in prison for up to over 13 years. If God had shown him that, he would have said no. And likewise, if we look at our lives, yes, God leads you to marry this person and you're sure it is the will of God. And then you enter into that marriage and then you go through a challenge. And you're like, but God, you led me here. I heard your voice. You see, the thing is, God uses circumstances to give us a deeper understanding of him. These are the dark speeches of God. He uses methodologies. He uses archetypes. You know, when you read the story of Abraham sacrificing, God asking him to sacrifice his son, God is using that to show us that, you know what, don't worry, Abraham, I will be the one who will sacrifice my own son. Now, unless we have the willingness to search out, unless we have the hunger to hear, the Bible says the sons of Issachar, they had understandings of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. We will miss out what God is saying. God will speak to prophets. He will tell them, he will show them a vision, and then he will ask them, what do you see? Now, when you see, I see the branch of an almond tree, then he said, you have seen correctly. Now, this is what I will do. I am bringing disaster from the north. It will come tipping forth. Jesus, the disciples asked him, Lord, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus said, it is not given for them to know. You know, it is praise be to God who has hidden these things from the wise and prudent. You can imagine, even things are hidden from the wise and prudent. But he has revealed them to babes, to little children. For us to understand the dark sayings, the dark speeches of God, to unravel these knots, these mysteries that God has given us, we need childlike faith and obedience. I tell you, it is better to make mistakes while you have heard, rather than to not even obey those small promptings of God that God gives you in the thing that, in the fear that, maybe it will not have been God. You would rather obey. And as you learn to obey, as long as it is not sinful, it is not a sin, but it is a call to obedience. When you learn to obey, what God does is that He brings you to another level, another measure. He grows us in leaps and bounds. The reason why people stagnate in certain places is because they just fail to obey simple instructions that came at specific points. Now, you see, God is merciful because He says that, you know, that He is able to restore the years the locust ate. But you see, unless you bring back yourself to that place of humility on recognizing that, Lord, I missed it, I messed it up, and ask God for mercy, you can spend 40 years in the wilderness, yet you should have entered your promised land in 12 days. They say that they could have reached the promised land in 12 days. But because of their stubbornness of heart, and God knew that these people, if I expose them to trials, they are going to turn back to Egypt. God had to take the slave mentality out of them first before entering them into the promised land. God loves us. And how He loves us is that He teaches us, He shows us through His voice. The Bible says that God revealed, you know, he revealed His acts towards the people of Israel. But to Moses, He showed them His ways. The ways are for those who will seek Him, to those who are faithful to God, to those who are sensitive and obedient. I tell you, God can even use spiritual signs. You just know that there is something wrong with this person. You can't put your finger on it, or you just know there is something wrong with this deal. You might not be able to explain it, but that is a dark speech that God has given you at that moment. It's like someone speaking in the shadows. Picture it that it's like someone is speaking in the shadows, and you just have to stop and pay attention. Think of even when Peter receives the vision. The Bible says while he meditated on these things, then the Holy Spirit told him, "Go quickly. Some men are seeking you. Do not hesitate to go with them." As I conclude, how do we interpret, or how do we work with dark speeches? Just simply trust and depend on the voice of God for each and every step of the way. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You can imagine if you're walking in the dark, if you just have a light, it will just show you your next step. Trust and depend on the voice of God for each and every step. Number two, do not be afraid to make mistakes. I've spoken about that. Trust me, we will make mistakes in our journey to hear the voice of God. But let us know that God will not lead us into temptation. He will not take us to a place where we cannot bear. He will not give us a burden that we cannot bear. We make mistakes. We are humans. And even prophets, even major prophets or big prophets, they make mistakes. And the Bible says prophets of old, they longed to see into these things, but it was still hidden from them. Think of Elisha, where the woman was coming, the Shunammite woman, and he said, "She is in great pain and the Lord has hidden it from me." So there are things that will still be hidden. Why? Because we need to depend on God. And the third thing that I said is, let us spend time, quality time, in the presence of God. God's voice becomes clearer to us when we have spent time in His Word, and when we have spent time in meditation, when you have spent time in prayer,
when you've spent time in worship, his voice will become clearer to us. Number four, let us not ignore the warning signs that God gives. Let us not ignore spiritual signs that God gives us. And my spiritual sign will be different from yours. You have to learn God for yourself. The Bible says that they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. You have to know your God. You have to know how God speaks to you. You have to know how he deals with you. And just know, as we conclude number five, is that our God loves mysteries. He enjoys it, and it is for his glory. He hides things from the devil. He hides things from angels, but he reveals it to little children. Praise be to God. Give him glory, even when we don't understand it. Because the Bible says, for right now we see things as but in a mirror, but a time will come when we shall see him clearly, even as we are fully known. Yes, a time will come when we shall be fully known. We shall know him clearly. But let us enjoy every process. Let us give glory to him. And let us return the praise back to him. And just ask him, Lord, is this what you mean? Lord, is this what you mean? And I assure you, you shall enjoy your journey with the voice of the Lord. Remember, God interacted with Adam and his wife through the voice of the Lord. The Bible says the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. So, first things, the rule of first things, God desires to walk with us through his voice. I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us insight into it, and you're welcome for any reflections. Any reflections?
Praise God.
Amen. You're welcome.
Nothing much to add, but just to re-echo the fact that in our, you know, learning to hear God, like you said, we just need to enjoy the process. There are some times when even God will tell you to do something. Yeah. And you might not even know why he has told you to do it, but he's interested in your obedience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the whole, because I remember there's sometimes, like, you know how God speaks to people differently. And for me, you know, God will speak to me and say maybe something like, do this, do that. Like, for example, it can even come down to even something as basic as don't take this route, take the other route. Okay, well, yeah. Even be like, you can be going out and God says, carry an umbrella, you know? Sometimes yeah. It might rain, sometimes it might not rain, but what, it's still a training process, yeah? Mm. God wants you to get used to knowing that this is him speaking, so that when it really matters, yes. You're already trained to obey, and whatever danger he's trying to avert will not come to you. So yes, it's a process. It's like a school.
Yeah.
So we just need to enjoy it along, you know? We need to just enjoy it all through. Amen.
Amen. Yes, you're right. It's the school of the spirit. Daniel, welcome.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped off there. It was the internet.
No problem.
Thanks, Dr. Manuel, for sharing. I think from Miriam's story, learn a few things there. I think we need to continue to ask him for God's guidance and grace. Mm. To discern his voice from all the other voices. But I think that is also an area of confusion. As you rightly said, sometimes even the enemy, the devil, knows how to speak. If we're not mature enough to discern the voices, then we could lead. But by his grace, I know you taught the other day how to know the voice that is coming from God. And it's a process. We'll try to see how God continue building and growing in that aspect. But also, you see Miriam trying to, you know, go on to say the attitude that she developed towards the anointed man of God, which was Moses here, I think also teaches us as Christians, we're very quick and, you know, we would be judging the man of God sometimes, looking at the weaknesses, looking at the mistakes they've made, and we forget the anointing that God has put on them. Think what happened to Miriam with that leprosy and the punishment that was given to him should be a reminder that there are repercussions when we, you know, choose to slander or to have a negative attitude towards the chosen and anointed men of God. And, but also, our relationship with God is not a relationship of convenience. As Christians, we think sometimes it's easier to worship or to follow God when everything that is coming in the relationship is positive and it's, you know, we're gaining from Him. But it's also good to trust God. That there are times when the directions, the guidance from Him will be difficult, you know. But as the Word says, that in all things, it works for the good, those that He has called and He has chosen. So it's trust. Just need to believe and follow whatever is telling us. And the example you gave of Abraham sacrificing us. I mean, today, if someone told you to do that to your child, and imagine believing, because Isaac did not come easy to Abraham. It is a miracle. It took the one. And here now, God has blessed you with this child. Again, you're hearing a voice telling you, go sacrifice. Mm. Wow, in this today's world, you would believe that indeed this is God telling me. You know, in all things from the society you live in, everyone will say this is abnormal.
Yeah.
You know, he possessed.
Yeah.
So you see that Abraham actually obeys.
Mm.
I only pray God gives us this kind of faith.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, you know, Dr. Emmanuel, and I'll stop there.
No, thank you. No, I think we've all given valuable contributions and feedback, and let's just spend time with Him and trust him. Oh, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank You, we give You glory. Thank You that You've even hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but You have revealed this to little children, and I thank You that it was for Your great glory. It was for Your glory. And I praise You for Your listeners, that those that have had any need, may we hear, have ears that hear and eyes that see. And indeed, it is You that made the ears that hear and eyes that see. And I thank You that indeed our ears hear and our eyes see. I thank You that our ears hear and our eyes see to Your voice, O God. Thank You for Your voice. May it be the loudest voice that we hear. And give us that willingness to obey. Give us that ability to understand. May we walk in the light as You are in the light. May we see things clearer, even as we are fully known, O God. May we be known by You, O God. Thank You that each and every day You teach us to depend on You. And indeed, we show us mercy where we have failed to heed to Your voice. And I pray that as we step into the day and into the things that we need to do, Your presence goes ahead of us. Your hand covers and shelters and watches over us. We pray for victory in all these things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.